Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Savannah Peterson. Today, I'm sitting down with Amy Brunkow, who is the owner of Alta Vista Meat Company in Alta Vista, Kansas, to talk about her company, how she found it, and kind of learn a little bit more about local butchering. Amy, welcome to Inside Ag. I want to start by getting to know you a little bit better. So can you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into the butchery business?
So it was a complete accident on how I got into the butchery business. That's for sure. Just a funny way of falling in love with something I never thought I'd fall in love with. I got into farming a couple of years ago, about 6, 7 years ago, and I really wanted to process chickens because I knew that that was something that I could do by myself and would be something I would enjoy. I picked up doing that off of some YouTube videos, following some other people on Instagram and Facebook. And at the time, TikTok wasn't around, but there's definitely some people on there now that I like to enjoy following that do homesteading and chickens. And definitely YouTube was the big influencer on that. So I decided butchering with chickens and then eventually got into small ruminant animals and was like, well, I could take them to a meat locker or I could try doing this myself. And I did it once and it just was so cool. I don't know if having been on the cadaver team at K-State during my undergrad years had helped that, but I just like fell into it, you know, went to the butchery and was like, this is awesome. So it was like being on the cadaver team again, but not having to smell the formaldehyde. So yeah.
In 2020, right before COVID, you took over the Alta Vista Meat Locker plant. And why did you want to take it over? And can you maybe like explain some of that startup process?
I had been looking at opening a locker in Paxico. I thought this would be a fun, just part-time thing to do on the side along with my farm because I get bored really easily. And I decided, hey, I could just grab something else to do. And I thought I'll just do 3 to 5 beef a week and be something smaller, not big, and definitely focus more on small ruminant animals, which is not something any lockers around here really focus on. And so I looked into that, and then I actually was talking with my vet that I used at the time, and she mentioned that Alta Vista Meat Locker at the time was for sale, and then it had been for a while. And I was like, where is that? Started to inquire about it, called around, called the realtor that had it listed. And it was closer than I thought it was, farther than I really would like it to have been at the time from where my farm was. But I went ahead and went down to look at it, did my walkthrough. And I was like, yes, this is it. Like, I enjoyed the people, I enjoyed the setup. And I remember seeing a larger animal get done. And I was like, I have to do this. This is awesome.
Since you have taken over the locker, there has been a lot of changes with Alta Vista Meats. What are some of the different things that are offered now at the locker?
So one of the biggest things that we definitely offer that wasn't there before is a big focus on customer service. And I think it was something that a lot of lockers were lacking at the time. I know when I was looking at lockers, it was something I felt that was lacking. This is a huge investment for people when they're buying quarters, halves, and wholes. And I always explain to the employees that work directly with the customers to remember that. I mean, this is their meat for a whole year, potentially. Some people, this is a whole 18 months of meat for their household. That cut card is a pivotal point in this purchase. So if that cut card is not done right, and you don't take the time to really know, is this somebody who enjoys cooking a lot of roast during the year? Is this somebody who cooks with a lot of grind instead of roast? Those pieces can make or break this purchase, which then makes or breaks whether they're going to make this purchase again. And so I would say probably the biggest thing was customer service. And I didn't really need to make any alterations at Alta Vista on the butchery side. The team that was there was amazing. I haven't had to edit any sort of things on the slaughter or the curing and the smoking or anything like that. They had awesome products. The snack sticks were amazing to begin with when I got it. I've brought on a couple new products, some of our specialty patties, but I really haven't had to alter any of that stuff. The biggest thing I would say would have to be the customer service.
That's so important in small towns, especially. Another unique feature about the Alta Vista Meat Locker is that you can resell meat products. Can you kind of describe this benefit and how it works for consumers?
So with the locker being inspected, somebody can come in and they can have a whole beef processed and they can go ahead and resell that at a farmer's market, or they can resell it by the cut. So this would be somebody who knows that they want to resell to consumers. So it'd be a wholesale type of setup. If well, you kind of have two different points on this, I guess, is what I'm thinking. You've got the people who definitely want to sell direct to consumers, and that is the people who go to the farmer's market, the people who are selling by the cuts on a regular basis. And then you also have the consumer who actually comes in, buys a quarter, half, or whole. I always tell them, sometimes they have a complaint of like, I just get so much grind and I am not a big grind person. Well, there is the option to resell some of the grind and recoup the cost of this quarter, half, and whole. And then that gives you the opportunity to buy another quarter, half, and whole quicker than it would if you had just bought, you know, or if you didn't sell the grind and you were trying to get through that before you bought another quarter and half or whole from the farmer that you're working with. So if you have a customer that wanting that quality of steak, wanting those quality of roasts, but they're just not big grind eaters, then the farmer can always discuss with them, if I take it to an inspected locker, you have the option of selling the grind yourself to family and friends if they want it, and they have that option. But I would say the biggest benefit for the inspected side is I have the farmers who want to sell directly to consumers as well.
It takes a lot of work to get inspected. Can you kind of walk us through that process of getting state inspected?
Luckily, when I purchased the locker, it was state inspected. So that kind of came with it. And one of the things that I did have to do was get HACCP certified along with some of the other staff. That was really the only big thing that I needed to do, was kind of learn that side of things so that I could understand the paperwork, understand the logistics of what was needed for the state and for that inspection. Now, going in the process now of going to federally inspected, there are different, not necessarily different requirements, but there's different expectations that the federal inspection would like to see that the state didn't, or there's things that the states wanted that the federal doesn't want. I mean, they just kind of have their little nuances that are different that I'm having to work through. There's also, I would have to say, probably the biggest thing is keeping up to date with the FSIS directives. So these are issuances that come out sometimes yearly, sometimes monthly, sometimes weekly. There is information that comes out on updates on things. A big one was there was a huge update on how we could do curing and smoking about a year and a half ago, and it affected lockers all across the United States. And it took a lot of time and finesse on kind of getting your process down to really figure out how we were going to adjust to these directives so that we could continue with the recipes that we had and the methods of preparation that we had, so that we didn't alter our product in any way, because we liked the way that our product was coming out and it was safe to the consumer, but we also needed to meet those directives that the USDA had put out. I would say one of the benefits that we didn't discuss already with being inspected is the fact that anybody who comes to our facility and uses our facility, they have the possibility, and I have the possibility, of contacting the state if we have any questions. If a beef comes in, there's an issue with it health-wise, I have the disposal of a veterinarian. I have the disposal of a inspector on site that I can ask questions if they've ever seen this. I mean, these people are going to lockers day in and day out. They've seen more than I've seen. Some of these individuals have worked for the state for 10 plus years, and I feel like they're an amazing resource to have. So that is a huge benefit to me.
I kind of want to backtrack a little bit. Now, you talked already about how important customer service is to Alta Vista Meat Company. What kind of customer service and education do you provide to consumers that maybe walk through the front doors of Alta Vista?
That is an excellent question and definitely my favorite, because education is huge for me. As a homeschooling mom and with a background in biochemistry, I love educating consumers on meat science. I thoroughly enjoy when a consumer comes in and they're peeking around, looking in the back, and I'm like, "You want a tour?" And they're like, "Yes." And I'm like, "Absolutely." We love showing people around. This is a dying industry. It was a dying industry, really picked up when COVID came around. And I want to keep that momentum going. And I think it's when people come in and they're interested in learning about it, seeing the carcasses hanging in the cooler, watching people breaking down these carcasses, educating them on what it would look like if this carcass had gone through a big packing plant, with being wet aged, how the difference is between what we do with traditional butchery and wet aging, which is what you get in a grocery store, really breaking that down for them so that they understand what that difference is and they get to see it. That gives them the ability to know more about where their food's coming from, know more about why the quality is different, and just be more educated on what they're eating.
And Amy, I know you talk a lot about the differences between local butcher meat as well as grocery store meat. Can you kind of go more in depth on that? Like, what are some differences? How can people kind of make those decisions for themselves?
You're asking a lot about the wet aging versus the traditional butchery. The traditional butchery is what we do, and wet aging is what the big packing plants do. The big packing plants industrialize the industry, and this is actually pretty new. One of my favorite books, The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, was the beginning of that in modernization and industrialization of meats. And when the USDA Meat and Poultry came into the picture is an amazing book. I highly recommend it for anybody. Great book for kids as well to really teach them about the industry. Well, the book is pinpointing and talking about kind of the shift of the inspection of the industry. But right at the tail end of that time period where that book had a big influence was when we did the industrialization, which is when wet aging came in. And wet aging is where we break down a carcass right after it's been cooled, so right after slaughter, break it down. And instead of hanging it so that it ages and the muscles relax as a whole or a half a carcass, we break it down into its primal cuts, put it into a bag with water, and then it ages as it transports to the next location. Then at the next location is where it'll get deboned and then put into a grinder for grinding, or deboned and then cut into steaks, or not deboned and cut into T-bones and rib steaks, things that do have bones in it, things like that. During that transport, it's never taken out of water. And normally at the new location, when it is removed from the vacuum sealed packaging, it is maybe sat out for a matter of minute, maybe an hour. I don't know of anywhere that sits them out for longer than a couple hours. Whereas traditional butchery, you've got a carcass that hangs in a cooler for 10 to 14 days at least, if not longer. Normally, these coolers, at least at our plants, we have dehumidifiers in there. So we regulate the humidification. Now, this is not dry aging. Dry aging is a totally different process that involves UV lighting, does involve the carcass being broken down into primal cuts. It involves an extremely well ventilated system, and it involves a different humidity control than what we offer in our coolers at this point of time. In our coolers, while the carcasses are dry or aging, this is just traditional butchery. I try to explain it to people as hanging age, because the term dry aging does get thrown around, and that's not technically what it is. It would be considered just butchery, traditional butchery, or hanging age. And during this time where it's hanging, it's not exposed to water. When it's not exposed to water, it's not going to retain that water weight, which is nice. The other part is you're talking about an aerobic environment for the microbiota. There is still going to be a microbiota in the carcasses. There's still going to be one in the wet aging as well. And that's going to be anaerobic because you vacuum sealed it. So you've got two different microbiotas that going on there. So two different types of organisms. Then you've got that water retention going on, which is also going to change a lot of the organisms that are going to be present and is going to increase the growth, is what I've read when you do wet aging with the water that's available to it. So there is the introduction of some sort of preservatives when they're wet aging. So they're transported in that water with some preservatives as well. And again, like I said, they're not rinsed off. They're not taken, they're just taken out of the bags and then ground or cut into steaks, things like that. In our facility, the whole carcass comes out after it's been aged in the cooler. It's going to start getting broken down and packaged. That's when we're going to put it into vacuum sealing or chub bags, things like that, for the consumer to eat from there. The big thing that I did learn, and this was probably about 2 or 3 years after owning the meat locker, that was very interesting to learn, was somebody started talking to me about cooking yield. And I didn't even think about this until they started talking about it. And I was just absolutely blown away and found very little research on it. And I'm curious on why there isn't more. And I would love to dig into it myself personally. Done a little bit, but I'd like to do it on a bigger scale. That cooking yield, when you cook something that's wet aged, since it did retain so much water, for example, hamburger, it's researched that it loses around 23% of its weight from raw to cooked. Whereas when you get something from a meat locker or ground beef from a meat locker, you're looking at only 5 to 7% of loss between raw to cooked. They think it's similar for brisket, smoked items for that cooking yield. So that's a huge benefit to the consumer when you don't lose all of that water weight. So when you're buying in the grocery store, you have to remember that you're also buying a lot of water, unfortunately. There's definitely a lot of benefit to the aging differences along with flavor, because the water is going to take away some of the flavor as well.
Can you maybe talk a little bit more about how your method or the practice that you implement at your butchery, how it affects flavor and other meat quality factors?
So with traditional butchery, when you put it into the cooler and it starts to relax, the muscles start to relax, which is not going to happen until after rigor mortis is done. And so you're about 24 or 48 hours later, you're looking at the muscles start relaxing. You're going to have, as that water is released, the myosin and actin are relaxing. You're going to have a much more tender product because it's not sitting in water. It has the ability to release all of that because of the way the pH is able to adjust to the relaxation. The meat is going to tenderize better than when you wet age. In the end, the product is going to have more flavor, is going to be much more tender, and you're going to significantly see the difference. I honestly was very hesitant on this until I attended an event where we were putting everything back to back, and it was interesting to see people's faces and watch people trying dry aged, hanging aged, and wet aged product, and just really seeing how they could tell a significant difference in all of the differences.
Amy, let's switch gears here a little bit. A large portion of your customer base at Alta Vista Meat Company is ranchers looking to kind of privately sell their own meat. Why is this important to you, and how did you kind of get into this market?
So this is important to me because it was something that I was doing and really what motivated me to get into this business. Besides the love of doing it, there also was the fact, I mean, it was the fact of it was something I was doing. I was going to the Topeka Farmers Market, downtown Topeka Farmers Market, loved selling my products there. As somebody who's been there, sold my meat places, I knew that it was something that I struggled with. It's something as a farmer, I'm up against the people, the big wigs in the grocery store. They have convenience. They have the ability to have really nice labels, the advertisement. Like, I need my things to look nice. I needed my things to be something somebody would come to the farmer's market and look at and be like, wow, this looks professional. And when you go to a meat locker and you hand over your product, your animal to them, they're giving you a product back. And if it doesn't look good, you're like, how am I supposed to sell this? You know, everything else I'd sold up to that point, you know, my soaps and lotions and anything else I'd sold from my farm, I had control over how the packaging was. And so I knew what my standards for professionalism looked on those packages. And it was really hard for me to pick up a product that I was now supposed to turn around and sell. And I have no control over what the labels look like, how the product was packaged. How am I supposed to sell this when it doesn't look good? And like I said, when I bought Alta Vista, that was one of the big benefits was I had a butcher there that was phenomenal. I mean, he is just absolutely phenomenal. Been doing this since he was 17 years old and is almost 40. His ribeyes just look amazing. I mean, he's very good at keeping everything looking perfect. I needed somebody that was going to be able to do that, that I could trust to do that, that knew that the end product needed to be something people could sell. That was important to me, knowing that people are going to go out and want to resell this. They need it to look professional. And so we did go into helping people get their own labels, having their logos on them. Right now, we just do black and white. I would love to integrate colored labels, and hopefully in the future that will be something that I offer. Just takes time. I keep reminding myself that it's only been 4 years since I bought this and I went through COVID with it. So I'm still giving myself some grace on things, but we're getting there.
Totally. What does this process look like for ranchers? Like, if they kind of approach you and kind of say they want to start selling their meat products, how does that process look like?
So first off, I talked to them about logo, what they want on those labels. Then once we get that figured out, then we go about turning those into the state, because the state does need to approve any labels, even if it's raw ingredients. If they're just having a beef process and it's all raw products, we still have to turn that label into the state. The label needs to get approved so that they can make sure it has everything that needs to be on it. So the state will approve that label. Then we would go about packaging all their products with that. We kind of go over the different product options for packaging, as we do have a couple different options for grind mostly. They want to get them vacuum sealed. That is definitely something that I feel like when people go to the farmers market, it ups their sales. It does cost a little more because we don't have a roll stock machine. We just run off of vacuum pack machines, but we press them flat. They stack really nicely, but the consumer can see the grind. Consumers like to be able to see what they're buying. So we offer that for the grind, which helps out a lot other than the chub bags. Any product that has ingredients to it, that's another label. So that does have to get submitted with the state, which can get overwhelming, especially with hogs, because anything like bacon, sausage, hams, even though it seems like hams and bacon should be under the same thing, they're actually two different cures, two different methods and preparations. So that's two different labels. Even if you're doing shoulder bacon and regular bacon, it's still technically two different items, two different preparations and methods. So it's two different labels that we have to submit with the state. So hogs can be a little more overwhelming. We also do the snack sticks. We've had people who've brought in custom snack sticks that we've done their own recipes for example, Manhattan Brewing Company's beer in with their snack sticks. That was an awesome project to be part of. I was so happy to collaborate on that and have really enjoyed that project. We've done some other ones where people have just decided, I really want to do pickled type snack stick. I want to see how it works. So we're going to do like 25 pounds. Can you hold 50 pounds of trim? If they sell well, can we do more? Absolutely. Like, I know going to farmers markets, you don't know what's going to sell. You hope the product's going to do well, but those specialty items, they can really rack up a bill quickly. So sometimes we like to tell them, start easy. We can always do a 25-pound batch. We can hold some trim back. If those ones don't sell, let's go back to the originals or back to a different flavor that did sell, and you can go with those. That is something we offer as well for the farmers that do resell, is you don't know what's going to sell, and we understand that. So we try to work with them on those.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful opportunity for ranchers. Amy, do you have any closing remarks here?
It's been a joy doing this. It's been a joy working with everybody that I've worked with at the locker, and the ranchers have been amazing. I've learned so much. I love it. I absolutely love it.
One last question for you, Amy. If anybody wants to find more information about Alta Vista Meat Company, where should they go?
So we have a website, www.altavistameatco.com. And then we also have an Instagram page, which is at Alta Vista Meat Co. We have a TikTok account at Alta Vista Meat Co. And we have a Facebook page, Alta Vista Meat Co. All of those are readily available. We are definitely on the internet and findable. They can also give us a call, 785-499-6829 as well.
Awesome. Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining me here on Inside Ag. It was exciting to hear all about your business and the different things you're passionate about regarding meat and meat science and all of that good stuff. Again, I'm your host, Savannah Peterson, here on Inside Ag. If you like this episode, be sure to share it with your friends.